Jeremiah chapter 35, please. Jeremiah 35. And we shall read the whole chapter. And at the end of our reading, I think it'll be obvious to each one of us what the subject is. Jeremiah 35. Jeremiah has often been referred to as the weeping prophet. We're going to read tonight from the words of the weeping prophet. Jeremiah 35, starting at verse 1. The word which came unto Jeremiah from the Lord in the days of Jehoiakim, the son of Josiah, king of Judah, saying, Go unto the house of the Rechabites, speak unto them, bring them into the house of the Lord, into one of the chambers, and give them wine to drink. Isn't that interesting? Give them wine to drink. Then I took Jaazaniah, the son of Jeremiah, the son of Habazaniah, and his brethren, all his sons, the whole house of the Rechabites. I brought them into the house of the Lord, into the chamber of the house of Hanan, the son of Igdaliah, a man of God. We just stop there a minute. Igdaliah, a man of God. Isn't that a beautiful description? And that's God's description of him. I wonder how he describes me. I wonder how he describes each of us, as children of God, or perhaps as prodigals. But that's not our subject tonight. We go on. A man of God, which was by the chamber of the princes, which was above the chamber of Messiah, the son of Shalom, the keeper of the door. I set before the sons of the house of the Rechabites pots full of wine and cups, and I said unto them, Drink wine. But they said, We will not drink wine. For Jonadab, the son of Rechab, our father commanded us, saying, You shall drink no wine, neither ye nor your sons forever. Neither shall ye build house, nor sow seed, nor plant vineyard, nor have any, but all your days you shall dwell in tents, that ye may live many days in the land where ye be strangers. Thus we have obeyed the voice of Jonadab, the son of Rechab, our father, in all that he hath charged us to drink no wine all our days. We, our wives, our sons, nor our daughters, nor to build houses for us to dwell in, neither have we vineyard, nor field, nor seed. But we have dwelt in tents, and have obeyed and done according to all that Jonadab our father commanded us. What a nice family. What a nice progeny. Verse 11, it came to pass, when Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, came up into the land, that we said, Come and let us go to Jerusalem for fear of the army of the Chaldeans, and for fear of the army of the Syrians, so we dwell at Jerusalem. Then came the word of the Lord unto Jeremiah, saying, Thus saith the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, Go and tell the men of Judah and the inhabitants of Jerusalem, Will you not receive instruction to hearken to my words, saith the Lord? The words of Jonadab, the son of Rechab, that he commanded his sons not to drink wine, are performed. For unto this day they drink none, but they obey their father's commandment. Notwithstanding, I have spoken unto you, rising early and speaking, but you have not hearkened unto me. I have sent also unto you all my servants the prophets, rising up early and sending them, saying, Return ye now every man from his evil way, amend your doings, go not after other gods to serve them, and you shall dwell in the land which I have given to you and to your fathers. But you have not inclined your ear nor hearkened unto me. What a shame. Because the sons of Jonadab, the son of Rechab, have performed the commandment of their father, which he commanded them, but this people hath not hearkened unto me. Therefore, thus saith the Lord God of hosts, the God of Israel, behold, I will bring upon Judah and upon all the inhabitants of Jerusalem all the evil that I have pronounced against them, because I have spoken unto them, but they have not heard. I have called unto them, but they have not answered. And Jeremiah said unto the house of the Rechabites, thus saith the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, because ye have obeyed the commandment of Jonadab your father, and kept all his precepts, and done according unto all that he hath commanded you, therefore, thus saith the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, Jonadab the son of Rechab shall not want a man to stand before me forever. How do you like that? How do you like that chapter? The obedience of the Rechabites. And that's our subject tonight. Obedience to God. One of the things that characterized Israel was their disobedience. And we get that in verse 12. Then came the word of the Lord unto Jeremiah, saying, thus saith the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, go and tell the men of Israel, of Judah, and the inhabitants of Jerusalem, will ye not receive instructions to hearken to my words, saith the Lord, the words of Jonadab, the son of Rechab, that he commanded his sons not to drink wine, are performed. But the words of God to his children were not performed. Isn't that, it's almost unimaginable that human children would be obedient to their human father and God's own people disobedient to God. A little hard to imagine, isn't it? And yet, we know that it is true. And today we see many areas of disobedience among God's people, among professing God's people. I don't have to mention the matter of homosexuality. Why, it's so plain in the Bible, you wonder how anybody could miss it. And yet so-called religious leaders are encouraging it. Same-sex marriage. What an abnormality. What an insult. What degradation. Very plain in the Word of God, but men are going against it. And when we behave this way, we bring dishonor on God's name and disrepute to his people. When we are in disobedience, blessing is lost. Turn with me, please, to, well, let's look at Numbers chapter 14. When we disobey God, we bring dishonor upon him and lack of blessing to ourselves. Numbers chapter 14. Verse 11. The Lord said unto Moses, how long will this people provoke me? How long will it be ere they believe me for all the signs which I have showed among them? Can you imagine the many signs that God showed to his people in Egypt? And then crossing of the Red Sea, you would think that's enough. In spite of those many signs, they still would not obey his voice. Now, there are those who tell us that if somebody came from the dead, they would believe. You know what the Lord said about that? They have Moses and the prophets. Let them believe then. We are called upon not to believe miracles, We are called upon to believe, as we have been studying, the Word of God. 2 Chronicles chapter 36. Verse 15. We have another example of the same thing. The disobedience of the children of Israel. And disobedience results in lack of blessing. 36 and 15. The Lord God of their fathers sent to them by his messengers, rising and sending them, because he had compassion on his people and on his dwelling place. What was the reaction? They mocked the messengers of God, and that's what they're doing today. Oh, you simple folks, you believe the Bible? Well, we are in advance of the Bible. We don't believe the Bible anymore. That's just a myth. And you go to the so-called higher places of learning, and this is what they give to the pupils. I remember in my own case, the first time that I was exposed to the theory of evolution. For 3 months, I was visibly upset. They made it sound so natural. I knew it was wrong. I knew it wasn't true. No point in asking my father or anybody in the assembly, because they didn't know anything about it. All they knew was that the Bible was true. But then one day, and I think I've told you this before, crossing the campus, a beautiful day in the spring, I think it was in the month of April, and this word came to me: evolution is what man says, the Bible is what God says. And young folks, don't be deceived. You know, I haven't had any more trouble with evolution, not since that day. This is what God says, and evolution is what man says. You go by what God says. Don't worry about what man says. And the thing is, these so-called scientific men don't know as much as you think they know. And they don't know as much as they would like you to think they know. I had the privilege of working with a few of them. And I think of one, Bob Bernard. Bob Bernard was a little more than 5 feet. And he was the genius type. You know, genius type with a big head? You know those short fellows with the big head, know everything? And one day I said to him, Bob, the way you all are going, you're really getting answers to scientific things. You know what he said to me? Arthur, for everything that we learn, we find two that we don't know. That's science. But my God knows everything. He made everything. And he is in charge of everything. 2 Chronicles, did I say? Chapter 36, we keep on reading. Verse 17. Oh, no, we must read 16 again. They mocked the messengers of God, despised his words, misused his prophets, until the wrath of the Lord arose against his people. Oh, look at that last expression. Till there was no remedy. Now, they tell us today, if you go to a doctor and you don't quite agree with him or like what he says, get a second opinion. You can get all the opinions of one. When God says there's no remedy, that's it. That's a bad situation to be in. And that's the situation in which the world is finding itself. And it grieves me so much to know that I have relatives who are in that situation. But let's read on. 17, therefore he brought upon them the king of the Chaldeans, who slew their young men with the sword in the house of their sanctuary, and had no compassion upon young men or maiden, old man or him that stooped for age. He gave them all into his hand. And read the rest when you go home. Disobedience to God results in judgment, lack of blessing. And when we are disobedient, let's read what we read in Hebrews chapter 4. When we believers today are disobedient, what can we expect? Hebrews chapter 4. Let us therefore fear, lest a promise being left of entering into his rest, any of you should seem to come short of it. Now that's for us today. We are to enter into his rest. Verse 6. Seeing therefore it remaineth that some must enter therein, that is, into the rest, and they to whom it was first preached entered not because of disobedience. And where we are disobedient, we too will fail to enter into God's rest. Verse 11. Let us labor, strive, work hard to enter into that rest. Now, what is this rest that we are to enter into? The rest, you will recall in the case of the children of Israel, they were in Egypt, then they went through the wilderness, and then they are in Canaan. And we this evening are in spiritual Canaan. Certain things characterize Canaan. Canaan was a place of warfare, but it was also a place of rest. I don't have to ask you if you're aware of the warfare. We're aware of the warfare. Are you aware of the rest, beloved? Are you resting in the Lord in the midst of all the strife around? In the midst of all the wickedness, is there a rest that you are enjoying? I think it was Sunday before last, and I'm going to mention it again. I mentioned Arthur G. Clarke. You remember that? Arthur G. Clarke. Here is a man that was put by the Chinese. He was a missionary from England to China. They arrested him and put him in solitary confinement. And he told me this himself. I didn't read it in the book. It was cold. It was damp. Poor hygienic conditions. Rats running all through the little room and running on him. How would you feel? What would you do? You say, Lord, why did you do this to me? Why am I here? Arthur Clarke asked the guard, let me have my Bible, a pen, and some paper, and wrote a commentary on the Psalms. In the midst of the trials, he had rest and stayed there for 3 months. The man in the cell next to him committed suicide, and the man in the other cell lost his mind. And Arthur Clarke had rest in the midst of the difficulties, resting in the Lord. Beloved, we are living in a world where there's wickedness, unrest, and as our Lord said, wars and rumors of wars. You walk the street sometimes, you're not even safe. You don't know if you're coming home. Rest is to be found in the Lord. And when we fail to be obedient to the Lord, we bring dishonor on his name. Genesis chapter 34. You know, that moves, seems to move rather fast. It's already a quarter of eight. So I will have to go rather fast or omit much that we have here. Genesis chapter 34. Genesis chapter 34. Verse 30. When Aaron and all the children of Israel saw Moses, behold, the skin of his face shone, and they were afraid to come nigh unto him. And further verses we read, or previous verses, that the condition of the children of Israel, because they were worshipping idols, was such that Moses says, you have disgraced the name of the Lord. And when we fail to walk in obedience, we bring dishonor to the name of the Lord. Be with me, please, in Romans chapter 15. Obedience to the word of God. The Rechabites were commended by God because of their obedience. Romans 15. And God has given us a book. And it is as we walk in obedience to this book that we bring honor to his name. Read verse 4. Years ago I talked to a believer, lovely young lady, and she told me, I don't read the Old Testament. That was for the Jews. And I think I mentioned to Brother George here recently. I probably mentioned it here. We had an open-air meeting in New York. One lady came, one sister, nice young lady. And she didn't have a head covering. And I spoke to her about that head covering, and she said to me, that was for the time of Nicodemus and Paul. I said, the time of Nicodemus. What verse did the Lord use when he led you to himself? She said, John 3:16. I said, oh, that's... No. That's that time in Nicodemus. That won't do you any good today. And as they say, she got the message. This book is for all times. Now let's read verse 4 of chapter 15, Romans. Whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our learning, that we through patience and comfort of the Scriptures might have hope. The whole book is for us. Now, listen to what I'm saying now. All Scripture is not about us. Don't get upset. All Scripture is not about us, but all Scripture is for us. You get the difference? Well, when God wrote back there in Leviticus, he was writing about the Jews. But that same scripture is for us today. We are to learn from the book. And we are to be obedient to the book. Read with me, please, in Matthew chapter 5. Matthew chapter 5. the honor that we should bring to the Lord today. But we will only bring him honor as we walk in obedience. We walk in disobedience, we're going to bring dishonor. Now Matthew 5 and verse 13. The Lord himself said this. 5 and 13. You, the disciples, are the salt of the earth. Every believer here, salt of the earth. Now, what does salt do? Salt makes things tasty. Am I right? We have some sisters here that can really cook. They know how much salt to put in things. Salt makes things tasty. Now, as bad as the world is, do you know that this world would be worse and will be worse when the children of God are taken away? If you think it's bad now, you wait till we're gone to heaven and the tribulation comes. We have a soothing effect upon those around us. Salt retards corruption. And if you think things are bad now when the Lord takes us to heaven, read about it in Daniel and Revelation, what's going to happen. Then, you know, there's something else about salt. Salt disappears. You don't see salt when you're eating, do you? It disappears. And we are to disappear. What did John say? He must increase and I must decrease, disappear. We are the salt of the earth. And finally, salt makes one thirsty. All right? And we should make those around us thirsty for the Lord Jesus Christ. The story is told of a man. He was a supervisor. And his time of retirement had come, and they gave him a little going away party. And different ones who worked under him wished him well and had nice things to say. And among the many people that worked for him and under him was a believer. And when it came to this supervisor's turn to speak, he said, I want what that man has. How's that? That man made him thirsty for what he had. Do they want what we have where we live? Do they want what we have at school, at work, even at play? Are we making them thirsty? Then you know there is a nobility in obedience. 1 Samuel chapter 15. There is a nobility in obedience. This verse we know well. First Samuel chapter 15. You know the verse. Verse 22. First Samuel 15. Verse 22. Samuel said, has the Lord as great delight in burnt offerings, and he likes burnt offerings. Mention was made of the offerings on Sunday, you remember? The burnt offering went wholly to God. Great delight in burnt offerings. And sacrifices. As in obedience. Obedience to the Lord delights him even more than burnt offerings. or you say, I don't have a burnt offering to give him, don't worry about it, just obey him. Far better to obey the Lord than to earn or offer burnt offerings. Next thing, obedience must be total. Luke chapter 6. Obedience must be total, complete. Luke chapter 6. Verse 46. Why call me Lord and do not the things which I say? Is he your Lord? Well, if you're not going to obey him, don't call him Lord. Well, you say that's very hard. Well, I didn't say it. That's what the Lord said. Why call me Lord and do not the things which I say? He is Lord of all, or he is not Lord at all. Obedience is the key to his lordship. Now let's look at some examples, some things that we find. Let's see. Book of Genesis, for example. Genesis. I'll give you the chapter in just a minute. I should know it from memory. I've been reading it up to today. That's a shame. You know, it's somewhere on this page. You know why I can't find it? I don't think Satan wants me to find it. But it has to do with Lot. You remember Lot? Well, let's turn. Pardon me?
19 and 30.
I think you are correct, brother, and thank you very much. No, not quite there. Oh, yes. 19, read 17. Now, remember what the Lord said. Don't call me Lord unless you do what I say. All right? Chapter 19, verse 17. It came to pass when they had brought them forth abroad that he said, escape for thy life, look not behind thee, neither stay thou in all the plain. Escape into the mountain, lest ye be consumed. And Lot said unto them, the angels, O not so, my Lord. Don't call me Lord unless you're going to do what I say. But Lot said, not so, and then he said, my Lord. Contradictory. If he's Lord, you do what he says. You find the same thing with Peter. In the book of the Acts, you remember when the vision came down and there were many things there to eat. And the Lord said, rise, Peter, slay and eat. What did Peter say? He said the same thing that Lot said. Not so, my Lord. He's either Lord of all or he's not Lord at all. The lordship of the Lord demands complete 100% obedience. I told you recently about William Capel. I'm going to tell it to you again. He was a young fellow, very gifted pianist. And he decided that he wanted to take lessons from Madame Stokowski at the Juilliard School of Music in New York. Madame Stokowski was world famous as a piano teacher. And William Capel came down to her, young fellow. I want to take lessons from you. I want you to teach me. Madame Stokowski said, I've heard about you. You like to do things your way. If I'm going to teach you, you've got to do things my way. You've got to do what I say, when I say, how I say, and where I say. Go home and think about it and come back in 4 weeks. William Capel returned in 4 weeks and said, Madame Stokowski, I'll do what you say, how you say, where you say, and when you say. And I want to tell you, he became a master pianist. I had the pleasure of hearing him play one of the most difficult pieces of music that I know of. Those of you that take piano lessons, you know about Mr. Liszt. Huh? He never wrote anything easy. And if it started out easy, it didn't end easy. And William Capel could play Liszt as I've heard no other artist play him. On a return trip from Australia, the plane fell from the air and he was killed. What was his success? Obedience. The Rechabites? Obedience. And if we are to be successful as believers, we've got to be obedient. Walk before God and obey his commands and yield to his demands. Beware of calling Jesus Lord and slighting his commands. A certain man, a businessman, put out a sign. He wanted a young fellow to work for him. Oh, and the next day, several fellows came. And he would ask them, well, why should I employ you? Oh, one fellow said, oh, I am strong. I can lift anything in here. He asked the next one, why should I employ you? I always come to work on time. And he asked and asked and asked. Came to one little fellow, he was smaller than all the rest. Why should I employ you? You're so little. What can you do? And he replied, I can do what I'm told to do. He got the job. Hymn number 500, please. Trust and obey. Huh?
I was thinking about that too.
There's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey.